with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. We're reflecting on what we know about Venezuela. It's non-transparent because of the Maduro regime. There's reason to believe that open communication with the opposition puts the opposition at risk. We go now to what we do have, which is a Reuters report of Maduro's allies. Venezuela defense minister reaffirms military's loyalty to Maduro. This is a man named Vladimir Padrino. He has reaffirmed the absolute loyalty to Nicolas Maduro. Comments came after opposition candidate Gonzalez urged members of the armed forces to stand at the side of the people. I mentioned, Professor, that the military is not the only pointed stick at the population. There have been reports for years that Cuban security, Cuban intelligence, is involved in strengthening Maduro. I remember those reports early on when Maduro faced large crowds in Caracas, years before the flight from the country took place. What do we know about his security services? He has the army pledging to him. He has a state security, but he has the Cubans. What role do the Cubans play? We've mentioned the Chinese. I've also had anecdotes that the Wagner Group, now called the Africa Corps in Africa, are present. We know Hezbollah is not unwelcome in Venezuela. Who has the guns in Caracas now?
Well, John, it's a great point. It's a very complex tapestry of control. And I'd first say that although by all indications, as in previous years, for good reasons that we'll talk about, that the military has not split, the security forces have not split. And yet at the same time, the statement by Vladimir Padrino López, of the military loyalty, that was probably more a declaration of reassurance or hope than necessarily a declaration of reality. Now, the anecdotal evidence that I've seen at the micro level is that there are some mid and lower level officials who are reluctant to engage with the crowds, who understand clearly the election has been stolen, but are really not in a position to defect from their superiors. There have been also certain units that are not being essentially used to engage the military because the reliability of those units, because of the loyalty of their mid-level commanders, is somewhat doubted. But the problem really is twofold in terms of why the military continues to back what is a naked election steal. Number one, as we've talked about before, the leadership of the military has so long been involved in not only their way out of their heads, their position is based on loyalty and not capability. But in addition to that, they have long been involved in the corruption, the famous cartel de los soles, essentially taking a cut from narco trafficking activities, other contraband activities, etc. And so anything that would return to democratic accountability not only would see them losing their position, but likely would see many of them going to jail for a very long time or worse. But even if that were not enough, you have thorough penetration by the Cuban agents, and that's been clear back to the time of Hugo Chavez, including the reorganization of parts of the military against each other. And so it's designed what we in security analysis called coup-proofing. So you basically try to create a situation where you have so much penetration and division that it makes it impossible for any one large group to split. Now, that often makes the military relatively incompetent, but it also makes it very difficult for an entire military to coordinate against you. Now, as you also point out, you have other agents. So my understanding is that back in 2019, 2020, the presence of what was then Wagner was largely to augment the security detail for Nicolas Maduro, especially after there had been a drone attack and some other reported plots against his life. And that type of attempt to take out Maduro is still something that's very possible today, a lot easier than mobilizing the entire military against you. As you pointed out, you have also a range of other actors who are involved in the country and in different other places. You mentioned Hezbollah. We can talk about groups like the ELN from Colombia and others, although many of those groups would operate in unpredictable ways if there was a change of leadership. In other words, they would be potentially agents of the chaos that could break out across the country if a real power struggle emerged. But in terms of the repressive apparatus, yes, it is very, very tricky that, you know, you say, well, how is it possible that, you know, despite this clear evidence that the election has been robbed, that 82% of the votes, and there's this photographic evidence that show that 67% of the people voted for Gonzalez and only 30% for Maduro, and yet the military still stays with Maduro. It's because of that combination of corruption, human penetration, and division that just makes them hunker down and keep doing what they're ordered to do for the moment.
What you're describing, Professor, is layers of security, similar to what we read about from the 20th century about how Stalin worked. Parallel secret organizations with guns watching each other and reporting to Maduro, one man, so he knows who's moving, who's loyal, who's not. That is strikingly similar to how Russia developed that for Stalin and how we're told it maintains it today. I just mentioned, because we read history books at the same time we read current events, you recognize a pattern. You'd have the watchers watched so that any thought of disloyalty is immediately self-destruction. Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. We're going to the reaction to these last days of theft in Venezuela. Three big ones first, Brazil, Colombia, and Mexico, and then the U.S., the EU, and the rest of the planet with money. This is CBS Eye on the World, New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.